I love going to the grocery store because honestly, I just love the variety of stuff that we have available to us, right? Like capitalism, I don't think we appreciate the bounty that capitalism provides, even in just like a corner grocery store in America. So you walk in there and you can choose between maybe as many as like a half dozen different types of apples. There are not many people in human history that have probably had that sort of choice, or maybe there actually have been, because I was recently reading a piece by my guest today, Jarrett Dieterol, his latest piece in Reason magazine, How the Government Almost Killed the Apple, opened my eyes to the incredible bounty and the incredible variety of apples that we had in this country once upon a time before the government unfortunately got involved. Hi folks, I'm Eric Bain with Reason magazine. Thanks for joining us on this edition of American Radio Journal. As I said, my guest today is Jarrett Dieterol. He is a senior fellow at the R Street Institute and the author of Give Me Liberty and Give Me a Drink, and he joins us now to talk about this fascinating piece. Jarrett, thanks for taking some time with us today.
Hey man, I'm just glad to be here talking apples.
Talking apples. I had no idea about this history here. Something like 10,000 different varieties of apples once grew in these here United States.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, the 18th and 19th century, I mean, America was the boss when it came to apples. I mean, we had more than any country probably ever has had, almost certainly. And yeah, we did just every American that lived on a farm, which was pretty much every American, they had an apple orchard, and they used their apples mostly at that point to make cider, actually, alcoholic cider. And yeah, we just all across the country, there was just tons of different varieties.
Yeah, and before beer really became kind of the drink of choice for Americans, or the alcoholic drink of choice, at least for many Americans, thanks to some German immigrants, cider was really the dominant thing here. And then, look, Prohibition kind of blew it all up.
Yeah, it definitely did. Yeah, and it's a lot of people, you know, think of Johnny Appleseed, and you know, really he was spreading with his seeds the gift of alcoholic cider, as we've said. And so yeah, once Prohibition enters the landscape, almost 100 years later, the apple really started declining in conjunction with cider. It was because cider started declining. And first of all, the government actually axed down acres and acres of apple orchards because they wanted to literally kill the source of all booze. It tickles me to imagine just agents out in the woods just axing at that era a bunch of orchards down. But also, because there wasn't the demand for the highest economic use of the apple at that time, it largely never came back post-Prohibition. And things like beer, you know, I mean, like you can like grow a field of barley or wheat really quickly. It's an annual crop and you can scale back up quick. But, you know, apples take 5 to 6 years sometimes to start producing fruit once you've planted a tree. And so that it just, no one really wanted to reinvest in that post-Prohibition to start cider back up. So it largely killed cider, and therefore, you know, all these apple varieties kind of fell by the wayside and were forgotten and lost in a lot of cases.
We're talking with Jarrett Dieterol. He's a senior fellow at the R Street Institute, and he's the author of a piece you can find at Reason.com this week, How the Government Almost Killed the Apple. And then the subheading here, Jarrett, is How the Free Market is Saving It. So let's finish up there. I mean, obviously, you've got your Granny Smiths, you've got your Honeycrisps, you've got the big dominant apples in the market, the ones that you can go to any grocery store today and find. But there's also kind of a bubbling up here of some of these older varieties, particularly in like Appalachia, where people are experimenting and trying to bring back some of those lost types of apples.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, you fast forward to the 1990s and there's only about 100 different apples being grown by commercial orchards. About like 10 or 11 of those are 90% of the grocery store sales. And that kind of was where we were until the craft cider boom takes off, which is part of the larger craft alcoholic beverage boom that we've been in America for the last decade plus. And yeah, all of a sudden, like you just, you know, have these folks popping up in Appalachia that are just rediscovering these obscure apples. Many thought they were lost permanently and extinct. There's, you know, stories like the Hughes crab tree, which is Washington's favorite apple, that was down to one tree in Williamsburg. They discovered it and were able to graft it and save it. And it's a huge cider making apple now. And, you know, all the cider makers like these obscure apple types because, you know, the better quality apples, the more variety that you can have, the better ciders you're going to be able to make. No one's making cider with Granny Smith and Red Delicious, or if they are, it's not very good. So since then, yeah, it's just it's kind of this explosion that's happened in this new market, and these apples are starting to be rediscovered and saved, frankly, because of that.
Yeah, you mentioned at the end of the piece a couple of Virginia cideries. I'm lucky enough actually to live out in rural Virginia. We've got a couple cideries near me. Next time I pop into one of them, I'm going to have to ask what type of apples they're using, because I never even thought about this, never thought about the wide variety of apples that once existed and that may someday come back again. Jarrett, that's unfortunately all the time we have for today, though. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And again, that's Jarrett Dieterol. He's resident senior fellow at the R Street Institute. He's the author of the book, Give Me Liberty and Give Me a Drink. Great book there about the history of booze in the United States. And at the end of the piece that he wrote for us at Reason this week, you can check out a nice little recipe there, a nice little cocktail recipe there for an apple cider cocktail. So find that at Reason.com. Find everything else we're working on this week up there as well. And for Reason Magazine, I'm Eric Baim. Catch me right back here next week on another edition of American Radio Journal.